Can you praise the Lord in this house this morning? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you thankful for mercy? Do you remember what mercy did for you? Amen. Hallelujah. But by His mercy, by His grace. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So good to feel the mighty anointing presence of Almighty God. We've had healings already this morning. Amen. We've had the victory in the presence of the Lord. There's just no telling what God's going to do today. Amen. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. Put your hands together and let all of our visitors know and everyone welcome. How glad we are that you came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. I just have to ask, is anybody blessed in the house today? Amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. Amen. Every day we're blessed. Praise God. Never forget the blessings of God. Amen. And on that note, there is also a saying, never forget. Never forget the sacrifice, the commitment, amen, and the responsibility. And some gave all to all of our veterans. And we're so thankful that we have not only a day, but I think we should celebrate each and every day and thank our veterans for the price that they paid, for what they've done for us. But we do want to take this opportunity all of our veterans, if you would come forward and stand this morning. I think we have some flags representing the branches of the military this morning, and we're very thankful. Amen. Very heartfelt thanks goes out to our veterans. Some were not able to be here today, and some have already gone home to that glorious reward. But we will never want to forget the sacrifice and what they did for us. Amen. I know that we have issues in our country. I know that things don't always go as smooth as they ought to. But let me tell you, we live in the greatest nation there is in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Greatest nation. And we're so thankful for that. As we commemorate and remember our veterans this morning, I would like to turn your attention to the American flag this morning, and let's pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, veterans. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, church, for recognizing our veterans. Yes. Sure. Thank you.
I didn't know how else to feel. Because I love God.
Sure.
And he loves the devil. So in my nature, I invited him to church.
This Jesus.
That's all I'm supposed to do, right?
Amen.
Of course, you declined my offer.
But you planted a seed. Sure.
And told him that I'd be praying for him.
Man. Sure.
Yeah, he comes out of that and comes to the good side. And comes to the bright side. Yeah. And comes to the happy side.
Man.
He's stuck in the darkness and he don't know how to come out. I tried. It's going to take more than me. Because he's very strong with the police, apparently. But that has made me so sick to my stomach. But this past week, and I can't stop thinking about it. He comes in all the time. I see him all the time at work. I just need to get that out of my chest.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing, and we will be praying. Let me tell you a little bit about mercy. Whether we realize it or not, Jesus Christ died for that man too. Amen. That's up to us. He's made us free moral agents, whether or not we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? All the advertising in the world, every T-shirt that denounces Christ is not enough to make me doubt the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, because I know what he has done for me in here. Let's bind together and pray for those. Those people need Jesus Christ. Amen. But you know what? If he would for repent right now, Jesus would save him. That's the remarkable thing about mercy. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And that's just one out of hundreds, if not thousands, who really need a touch from the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Deuteronomy. The very first chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. Just want to say we appreciate all that's going on here at the church. A lot of activities. Get involved. Be a part of it. Have fellowship. There's no better time, amen, than fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. People who truly love the Lord. Amen. I can't think of anybody I'd rather be around than a bunch of Christians. Amen. Glorifying right, and praising amen. God. And if you're not comfortable being around in Christians, you know, you're going to be in them for a long time in heaven. Amen. Because that's all it's going to be there. Amen. As born-again saints of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 6. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 6 in the first chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them, and to their seed after them. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Adam, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing this morning upon his messenger? Yes, Lord. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus and you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I for one am very glad that the Lord still speaks to us. Amen. Maybe not in the form of a finger that writes upon the stones, the Ten Commandments, but God still speaks to us in this day and hour. Maybe it's not the time in a strong storm or a great wind. Maybe sometimes it's in a still, small voice. Maybe sometimes he just places that thought in our inward parts. Amen. And let me tell you something. If we would steal our flesh, get our flesh still long enough, God would speak to our spirit.
even in this day and hour. I've heard people say, how do you know that God is speaking to you? God is always speaking into you. Amen. You know, it's kind of like a radio. The radio's playing whether you turn the knob on or not. That's up to you. I mean, God, they're going on the airwaves. It's up to us to turn the knob on and not turn the volume down and mute it. Amen. But when God speaks, we need to listen. I thank God that He spoke to me this week. He spoke to me in a very, not an audible voice, but a very earth-shattering impression upon my heart and upon my mind. And He basically said, that's long enough. That's long enough. And I've got a message title this morning for the church here at First Pentecostal Church. That's long enough. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about? Well, I'm sure glad you asked me that question, because I'm going to try my best to explain to you how God spoke to me this week. I was reminded of the children of Israel, and I was reminded of the long time that they spent in the wilderness journey. This took place. Bible historians tell us that Moses began to write here, as they're preparing to get ready to go into the land of Canaan. Now, it's been a long time. In excess of 38 to 40 years that they have wandered in the wilderness journey with the purpose of going into the promised land that God had already given them, by the way. And they kept trying to think of every excuse in the world not to enter into the possession. But now we find that historians tell us this is about 2 months prior to the crossing of the River Jordan, which they would go in and begin to possess and lay out the land for the different tribes of Israel to go in to possess this land. There'd been a lot of battles. There'd been a lot of obstacles. There'd been a lot of pitfalls. There'd been a lot of things that tried to deter the children of Israel from reaching that goal. Does that sound similar? Does that sound familiar? Amen. How many knows that we're on a journey? Praise God. How many knows that we're nearer to the end of that journey today than we was yesterday? A lot of people say, I don't know how the Lord can delay His coming. You know what? The Bible prophecy is being bared out every single day that we're here on this earth. That only lets me to know that people, it's time to get ready. It's time to be ready. It's time to stay focused. It's time to get into the Word of God. It's time to get on our prayer in our prayer closets and on our knees and begin to petition the Word of the Lord to lead us and guide us and give us comfort and peace during these turbulent times. And as Moses began to reminisce and began to share with the children of Israel just what they had gone through and to get them ready to enter into the land of promise, into the time of basically he told them the time for encircling the same mountain is over. Can I share with you this morning that there are saints of God who are Bible read, their soul have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they have grown up under the anointed preaching and ministry of the Word of God, they know what is right and wrong. But can I share with you this morning, there are saints of God who can't get past the things that are in this mountain. They can't get over them. They can't put them to rest. They can't put them behind them. It is constantly before them. It is constantly crowding their spiritual mind. It is causing an obstacle. It is causing a stepping stone and an adversity in their life, or some kind of thing that causes them not to get the deliverance and victory that they need. And the children of Israel were in the same boat. And let me tell you something about the mountain. The mountain here that they had been encircling, or basically one interpretation says they were wandering throughout the mountain range, and they knew that victory was just on the other side. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to this morning, but I believe He's telling somebody it's time to know that the victory is just on the other side. You are so close to victory. I don't even believe sometimes that we realize it as Pentecostal filled Holy Ghost filled people how near we are to victory, because we're too busy looking at the mountain. We're too busy looking at the conflict. We're too busy looking at the obstacles that are around us. But I believe that the church, amen, and I'm not talking about this local assembly, I believe the church is on the threshold of a great outpouring of God. Amen. I cannot discount the promises of God, and God said He would pour out His Spirit. I believe with all of my heart, people that you and I don't even realize are going to come to the knowledge of Christ. I believe he can even turn Satan worshipers around. I believe he can turn drug addicts around. I believe he can turn people who are anti-God around. Amen. Because God is going to come on the scene. Amen. But we got to get past the mountain. We got to get past the obstacle. We got to look through eyes of faith. We got to stand united as a victorious church. Amen. I'm proud to be set free. I'm proud to be on my way to heaven. There is nothing, amen, that can cause me to doubt that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was in this mountain? What was the mindset of the people as they wandered through the different places in the mountain? One thing that came to me, that it was a secure place. Amen. Security. Security is something that's sought after today with great fervor. People seemingly had rather have security than victory. The children of Israel laid a pattern for that. They had gotten to a place it wasn't where they needed to be. Wasn't where they wanted to be. It wasn't where they desired to be. And it wasn't even where God promised them that they should dwell. But it was a refuge. Let me tell you, church. God kind of laid it on my heart. We have prayed for refuge for so many years. But let me tell you something. Let me remind you, in Bible times, victory did not come in the time of refuge. Victory came in the time of the battle. Victory came in the time when the army of God, the children of God, got up, amen, off of their stools of do nothing and began to march forward and began to go in and claim and go in to possess, amen, the promise that God has given us. I'm telling you what, folks, I got into that doldrum. I got into that routine of praying for the same old thing over and over and over and over again. God, about this mountain, God, about this issue, about this situation. And it came to me, you have encircled or compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. There comes a time, amen, when we need to step out on faith. It doesn't look like it, but we need to step out on faith and trust God that the answer is not only on the way, but the answer is within our grasp. Let me speak to those who have been battling the same sickness for years and years and years. My Bible tells me that the Lord is the healer of the body. He tells me that with every stripe he took, it was for our healing. Let me tell you, there is a time when you need to reach out by faith and claim the victory that God has placed before us. Hallelujah. Let me speak to us burden bearers. Amen. Some of us have gotten so accustomed to the burdens that it has detached itself permanently to our spirits. Come on. We'll hold to the scripture, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And forget about the latter part. This is God will deliver us from them all. Hallelujah. I'm a firm believer in that God doesn't halfway fix anything. I believe if we will elect God and allow Him through our faith and through our understanding and through our dependency on Him, God will make a way when there is no way. Not only does there seem it to be no way, there sometimes there's absolutely no possible way, but God comes on the scene. Amen. God comes on the scene and He puts a door where a wall was. Amen. He puts an opportunity where defeat was. Amen. He gives victory. Amen. Where we was once so concerned about a place of refuge. God is refuge. He's a strong tower. Amen. But I think He's looking for an army. I think He's looking for an army of believers who's trying to say, let's get out of the shadow of the mountain. Let's get out of this security blanket that we've toted around all these years. And let's march forward. Let me tell you something. They tell you today, keep quiet about your salvation. Don't be offensive about proclaiming Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I hope the very last words that I pronounce and say on this world today is Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, and He died for you too. There was a reason for the crucifixion. There was a reason for the resurrection. And it's for times like this that we're living in, when we can't depend on anything else except a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children of Israel, in this last letter, in this last ministry, in this last sermon of Moses, Moses realized something in this particular book. He shared with them, many of you are not going to enter into the land of Canaan. Your descendants will. He spoke specifically of Caleb, because Caleb remained wholly committed unto God's word. When others faltered, when others fell by the wayside, when others trembled in disbelief, when others tried to denounce or diminish the miracles of God, amen, Caleb held strong. Joshua was another one that he mentioned. Moses himself said, because of my disbelief, because of my disobedience, I will in fact not be able to enter in. But your children and your descendants will. Amen. You know what? That wasn't God's fault. That was not God's fault. God would have let them enter into Canaan land. Amen. But they faltered by the wayside. They lost their faith. They lost heart. They fainted by. And they began to murmur and grumble and complain. And Moses is reminding them of that. But he's telling them now, too much before going and crossing the Jordan River, he's sharing with them. He said, basically, what he is surmising here is there was a time when wandering in the wilderness was beneficial to you. And I thought about that, and I said, Lord, you mean some of these struggles, some of these setbacks, some of these things that I have had to endure have in fact been beneficial to me? Because let me tell you what the children of Israel learned in the wilderness. They learned that they could not depend on anything else except God. There was no way they could have took enough provisions to last them 40 years. There's no way they could have packed a suitcase that would have actually had enough clothes in them for the last. But God, amen, was able to sustain them on both accounts. Gave them water when they was thirsty. Gave them food when they was hungry. Amen. Gave their enemies into their mighty hands. Amen. Through the power of God. But there was a time through the wilderness. There is a time through struggle. There is a time through things that seemingly are overwhelming in our life. And we're looking for that mountain of refuge. We're looking for that hiding place, amen, where we won't have to endure the suffering and endure the pain. But can I tell you, as God reminded me, just as the children of Israel needed that wilderness journey, wandering to and fro, they needed that. It was beneficial for them to enlarge their dependency on God and know that they couldn't make it without God. I stand behind this pulpit today and tell you, I would not be where I am today. I could not be anywhere where I am today spiritually had it not been for the mercy of God, had it not been for His grace and His loving kindness, amen, has instilled that within my heart. It taught faith and dependence. Sometimes it's hard for us to learn faith and dependence when we're shouting on the mountaintop. Come on, there's a time for shouting. There's a time for celebration. There's a time to acknowledge, amen, what the Lord has done. But there's also a time of growth, spiritual growth, and dependency on God's word. And can I tell you, more times than not, that comes through the wilderness. That comes through the extended length in a valley, through problems and trials. We are made stronger. When I am weak, that's when I become strong. I'm talking about when my body becomes weak, my will becomes weak, my own opinion becomes weak, and that is within within me begins to grow spiritually, I'm ready then to go in and possess what God has promised He would give to us. I'm telling you today, church, it's out there in front of you right now. It's within your grasp, but you got to get out of that valley. You got to get out of the shadows of that complacency and out of the shadows of that refuge and security and get ready, amen, to reap victory, because victory is in Jesus. Hallelujah. The wilderness promoted faith and dependency. But now it's a time to put that faith into action. Hello?
Come on now.
There's a time to test that faith. There's a time to exercise that faith. There's a time to go in and claim, amen, what God said is already yours. Let me tell you about the mountain. The mountain we read here and look about is a physical mountain. It's a place where the children of Israel gathered and stayed and were very hesitant and complacent about moving up in God. Can I warn the church today of getting to a place where you become complacent, amen, and lack the energy and lack the desire to move up for God, amen? There's a song that says, move up a little closer, amen? I want to get right in the spiritual realm of God's anointing and His blessing. And so sometimes that's not just sitting in a seat of mediocrity. That's not just sitting in a seat of complacency. That's not just sitting in a seat and asking God, bless me and help me and cause me to be secure. Let me tell you something, folks. It's time to throw away the security blanket and reach up and take hold of the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ and say, I am ready to march forward. I'm ready to go forth in the name of Jesus. Because let me tell you something, folks, we will win. The children of God are winners. Amen. We've got our eyes too much focused on the things of the world. We need to be able, as the prophet allowed his servant, look past that army and look to the army of God. Look to the angels that are encamped round about us. Look to the Spirit that has delivered His people out time and time and time again. And God will still deliver in this day and hour that we're living in. But although it may not be a physical mountain in our situation, maybe it's a mountain of anger. Maybe it's a mountain of hurt. Maybe it's a mountain of fear and you've grown comfortable in that surrounding. Whatever that case may be, I believe that God is trying to wake us up and let us know, come on, it's time to march forward. It's time to go forth. It's time to claim what God healed you of several years ago, and the devil's still telling you he didn't do it. Let me tell you something about Satan. Let me tell you something about the things that are written on the side of that van. Let me tell you something about the things that are written on that t-shirt. They are lies from the bottom of hell. Amen. He is the father of lies, but I know the father of truth. Amen. And my faith and trust is in the word of God and not what the world tells me. Amen. There's a lot of people, amen, that are against the power of God. It may look like we're outnumbered. It may look like that all hope is gone. But let me tell you, every time that I've read in the Bible, when it seemed like the odds were against God, God raised up. Amen. God brought the church up. He brought His people up. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward now with eyes of anticipation about what God is about to do. I believe with all of my heart, if we can just get hold of faith today, we'll see family members come in and be saved. We'll see people delivered from alcohol. We'll see people delivered from addiction. We'll see people delivered from anxiety and from stress and from all the other things that Satan has bombarded the church with. Glory to God. But we got to move up. Amen. It's long enough. Satan has hindered long enough. I said one time from the pulpit, Lord, give me that Popeye syndrome. You generations that don't know who Popeye is, he had a saying. He said, that's all I can stand because I can't stand no more. Amen. I'm going to try to tiptoe on some eggshells this morning. And if your eggshells get broke, it's because you hadn't spent enough time in hot boiling water. That'll make you strong. Come on. Walk through the desert. That'll make you strong and dependent on God. Let me tell you something. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things wrong in this world. But there's something that's right. Amen. And I don't care. They may call it wrong, but it's still right. Amen. It's still right. Can I tell you this morning, your neighbor is not your enemy. As much as I disdain the IRS, they are not my enemy. Lord have mercy. As much as I disdain things that are going on in this world and the opposition, that is not my enemy. I looked past that and I saw Satan behind the whole thing. He's trying to cause controversy. He's trying to get brother against brother. He's trying to divide churches. He's trying to divide families. He's trying to tear down everything that he possibly can. And I thought to myself, if the devil thinks that he's running out of time, then that lets me know that God is about to take care of business. God is about to open up doors of victory. God is about to rain down His Spirit. Church, we need to start coming into the house with an expectation of a mighty move of God. Not it let be the abnormal, but let it become the norm of glorifying, lifting up, and praising the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is still the healer? Who is still the deliverer? Who is still our salvation? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We spend too much time telling what's wrong rather than declaring what is right. Amen. Moses said, then we turn. Glory to God. Brother Eddie, I've been bearing this burden for years. I've been holding this in my heart for so long, it's become a part of me. I know that God tells us to forgive, but some way I just can't get past it. I pray and I try, but somehow it's just constantly in front of me. Man, can I tell you that Moses began to see something that disturbed him. God spoke to Moses and said, "You people are walking around and around and around the same old burden, the same old obstacle, the same old affliction, the same old anger, the same old animosity, the same old hurt feelings." And they're walking around and they're walking around and they don't realize just on the other side of the Jordan is deliverance. Just on the other side of the mountain there is victory. Just on the other side of the mountain, hallelujah, there is revival. Just on the other side of the mountain, oh glory to God, there's a revelation of what God's church needs to be. On the other side of the mountain, amen, we can come into the house and we can lay down every burden, every trial, every situation, get our hearts and minds on Jesus and begin to worship Him like Pentecost people should. Man, God spoke to Moses, said, "You can pass this mountain long enough. You've encircled that burden long enough. You've carried that hatred long enough. You've carried that jealousy long enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You've carried that hurt feeling long enough. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. That hurt feeling, praise God, I'm releasing it. Come on. I'm going to turn. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn my back to animosity. I'm going to turn my back to what the neighbors say. I'm going to turn my back to all of the gossip. I'm going to turn my back, amen, to everything that Satan tries to get me down. I'm going to turn my back to my past. I'm going to turn my back to the many times that I've failed God, because I failed in His scripture. If I would repent, He will forgive. Amen. If I have a broken and contrite spirit, He will raise me up. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn my back on all of the evil. I'm going to turn my back on the perverseness. I'm going to look toward Jesus. I'm going to look toward victory. I'm going to look toward God restoring His people. Hallelujah. In the mountain, there was victory unrealized. In the church, there is victory that's been unrealized. There's healings that have not been accepted. Hallelujah. But Brother Eddie, it looks like a mountain. It looks impossible. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If it looked possible, you wouldn't even need the faith to believe it. I know this is an old story, but the Bible's full of old stories. This is an old testimony, but it never grows tired and weary from me testifying about it. My little brother broke his arm in the second grade. You know this. Those of you that have been listening to me a long time, if you don't want to hear it, just pray for me. Those of you that may not have heard the story, it's a good story because it's a true story. My little brother broke his arm. We were up on Vincent Mountain in Polk County. My aunt and uncle were moving into a new home. We had boxes out in the front yard that my brother and my two cousins had torn apart, and we had made a rodeo arena. And me and another cousin were the bigger cousins, so we were the bucking broncos. We were the horses, and the two smaller cousins rode our backs, and we threw them off time and time and time again, until my brother was thrown off and landed on his arm, and his arm came down awkwardly, and it broke his elbow right in there, and it was a horrible sight. And my dad and uncle took off with him to the hospital. They in turn sent him to Rome. In other words, he had to stay in traction, I think, for 13 days. And after they brought him out, and after they let him go home in the cast, the doctors told my mother that his arm would never be able to be completely straight. It would always have a bend in it for the rest of his life. It's healed. The bone is strong, but he'll always have a crook in it. And he won't be able to really reach behind his back and even touch the back of his head because of the way that the bone has grown back. Come on, Mother walked around that mountain a little bit. And then she decided that God's word doesn't really work like that. Because she had been brought up to believe, if you believe, God will answer your prayers. The things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. So God spoke to her and said, I will heal Dennis's arms if you'll turn away from that mountain. They didn't use that terminology. She basically said the Lord told her, if you'll just stand up and testify. For the healing, not only the healing, but making my little boy's arm straight. Mother looked at the mountain. She said, but it's not straight. He said, I said, if you would claim it, if you would testify for the fact. So she turned around her belief. She got away from the natural eyes and began to look through eyes of faith. First opportunity she had in the Rockmart Church, she stood up and she said, I want to thank God for healing Dennis's arm, and I want to thank God for making it straight just like the other one. The precious saints of First Pentecostal Church in Rockmart, Georgia, cast an eye toward Dennis to see that his arm was still crooked. Dare I say that well-being saints still look at the mountain rather than looking at victory. So she went home, and Dennis's arm was just as crooked. Every chance she got to have a testimony meeting, and I was raised in the church where we testified very regularly. She would stand and say, I thank God for healing Dennis's arm and making it just straight as the other one. That went on for several weeks, and then we had a youth rally. That was the joining of about four churches, and it was in Rome, Georgia, and we all gathered together, and oh, it was a good service, and God, you know, God speaks to us sometimes in places where we, well, Lord, no, this is not the right time. I'll wait till I get that back to the home church. God said, stand and testify about the healing of Dennis's arm. So finally, after she lost the argument with God, she stood up and she said, I want to testify, take this opportunity to thank God for healing my son's arm. And the doctor said it would never be straight, but I thank God for making it just straight as the other one. And Dennis left that service that night with a crooked arm. Every chance she got, she praised God for straightening his arm. One day, Dennis and I was out on the swing sets. We were swinging, having a good time like two brothers would do. She looked out the window. She looked at Dennis's arm holding onto the swing. She looked at it again. She went to the door, opened the door, looked out the door to make sure. And she saw and she looked. She wondered if she seen the right arm. But she looked and Dennis's left arm was just as straight as the right arm. To this day, it's just as straight. He never had an issue. He never had a problem. What happened, Brother Eddie? She turned herself around. I'm not hearing what the doubt says. I'm not hearing what Satan says. I'm turning around and I'm going to focus toward God. I'm going to claim his victory. I'm going to claim the miracle. I'm going to call it done regardless of what the evidence is. Amen. You've accomplished this mountain. One interpretation says you wandered around this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. I believe there's some saints of God that need to turn northward. I believe there's some saints of God to look straight in the face of our adversary and say, that's long enough. You've drugged me down too long. You've placed doubt in my heart for too many years. I defy you, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn around. That's where you need to be in anyway. How dare you stand in front of a child of God? How dare you come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I rebuke you. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's where you belong. And you stay behind me because I'm not going back. I'm going forward today. I mean, the church needs to grasp hold of that. Victory is within our grasp. Victory is just on the other side of the mountain. Victory is just across the Jordan. Victory is well within our grasp. If we can believe. If we can believe. And turn our backs on the adversary. God bless you. Would you stand to your feet? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Going to ask you today if you're not completely sold out to God.